The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinking JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Eustachio just is official now, just came down.
It is the top.
It is the top.
Okay.
And also, yeah. James Rodriguez official now with Minnesota as well. So we're going to get to Vancouver real shortly, but we got to touch on these quickly. Asa Remar returns second time in a week.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Popular.
Right now.
I wonder why. What's going on this week?
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Wong is here. JC's here. I'm Shams. So let's get things started here with, Stephen Eustachio. We talked about it before on the pod this week. On his way to LAFC, it's official. There's a cool little tweet. Instagram post that LAFC just put out there. It's a picture of Schwanier, Eustachio, and Schaffelberg all standing together in the Canada, actually Canada white, around center circle. And they're saying something like, cool, eh? It's like, good little, it's clever, you know? Cost nothing. Clever. Nice way of thinking about it. But yeah Asa, are you a Eustachio guy?
I am, and I think this is a great move for him. Getting the minutes, I mean, you guys talked about it, even coming off the bench for Porto is valuable, the experience that he gained there, but you need minutes, especially leading up to a World Cup. And, it's tough to say, being from Vancouver, that LAFC is a great thing going there. It's been excellent for a little while, and I'm sure people let me know in the comments how I shouldn't be saying this about an American team. But at the same time, like, it's been working for them, and they have a lot of Canadian content there as well. And, I think it's a good situation for him. He should slot in, start right away, and produce for a very good team, which is exactly what you want for a player who's expected to start for Canada in a few months.
I asked this question in the last podcast, how this affects the rivalry, LAFC-Vancouver, for the neutral. I understand the Whitecaps fans are still going to hate LAFC. Maybe not quite as much, though, with the Canadian contingent
there. Pretty hard time.
I'm really curious, right? Because as a neutral, I watched those games, and of course I'm supporting Vancouver. And there have been such great battles over the last few years, big moments. And I've been supporting Vancouver, and I've got nothing nice to think about LAFC. But now I suddenly look at them, and they've got three, four players, five players. And they've got a manager. All Canadian. Should I be looking at that rivalry differently now?
No, still hate. Like, that hate is so strong. It is, I think it's probably one of the biggest rivalries in the game right now. Because they meet so often throughout the season, it's always a great game. I think for a while, LAFC had their number, was a better team. But honestly, even through Vanni Sartini, they had some good results. Andres Cubas doesn't score often. He scored a banger, a winner against LAFC. So they have these moments as well that you need in a rivalry. Playoffs last year as well. You had this epic game between these two teams. So yeah, no, I mean, good for Eustachio. He's not going to get any cheers when LAFC come to Vancouver, that's for sure.
Sharms, I was just thinking about the missed opportunity by LAFC. Yes, cool A is kind of cool, but it would have been better LEHFC.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe they rushed it a little bit.
They shouldn't have.
You know, when you're
Ryan Raposo, sure. Mark DeSantos, like, they also could have put, like, faked five more people. Like, there's five of them now.
But you know how
message
it is.
Message Carl Lang for her story. She can use that. There's no shortage of various places that you can do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to be creative, right, and you're writing or you're on social media and suddenly a good idea comes to you, then I stop at that good idea. That's it. I don't try and make it better. I don't give it any more thought. And I think that's probably what happened here. Like, oh, this is a great idea.
Right.
Right? Then that's what happened here.
Yeah.
But still.
That is a good one. I like it.
I agree with you. I think it's a good move for him, as we talked about earlier this.
And if you want to have a listen to how Dubs broke it down, Amy Walsh on our last show, she really broke down Steve Eustachian really well. Stephen Eustachio, I know. But really broke him down and his strengths and his weaknesses, but what he'll add to LAFC. So give that a listen. It's on, I think, two podcasts ago. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, great content, by the way, recently. I feel like that's a good segue for me to just applaud, pat on the back with all this stuff this past week, last couple of weeks, but a lot to cover, a lot going on. And yeah, you guys are nailing it every time. First one I listen to. Yeah.
It's because we're usually so shit. So when we do kind of
the bars down stuff, here.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Well, good. We saw that.
Well done, lads.
2026. Lady. Let's go.
Oh, sorry, I can't call Dubs a lady. I'd be in trouble.
Lady.
James Rodriguez is official now to Minnesota as well. Now, okay, I know you're a huge fan of the game. Back in 2014, Asa.
Yeah, yeah.
After that World Cup, right, when he was the best player in world football, right? He was amazing.
Like, maybe you had the same reaction, Shams, when I heard this initially. I was like, that's amazing. One of my favorite players. Love watching this guy at World Cup. So cool, so exciting. And then you read through it, and he's 34 years old. And I was like, wow, I feel old, right? Like, I didn't see that. I thought maybe 30. You know, it was one of these where I was like, oh, yeah, James Rodriguez, because he was like a teenager. He's amazing. He's like 30. He can't be over 30. Yeah, 34 years old. Like, wow, that happened quick. How old am I?
That's a little game here, shall we? How many teams can you name that James Rodriguez has played for? Anyone?
Yeah, Real Madrid.
At least one.
Yeah. And then loaned out to the Bayern Munich.
Very well done, yes.
And then honestly, then it's like that's where it kind of ends for me. And I know that he bounced around, went to Saudi Arabia, I believe. But I don't know the names of the teams that he played on after that.
All right, so some, because I forgot about some of these teams as well. I remember Everton. Remember Everton? Played there for a bit.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So okay, so basically, his career started. He's playing in Envigado, which I think is in Colombia, and then Banfield. Made the move.
Where's Banfield, Charms?
Argentina, I think, isn't it?
Okay.
I think I should check that out, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, yeah.
I was going to say, it's in USL 1. No.
All right. And then he made the big move to Europe, to Porto. Remember Porto? He was fantastic. Yeah. And began to kind of cause some ripples across Europe. And then he went to Monaco when they were spending tons of money, just for a season, though. And then the World Cup happened.
Yeah.
And James Rodriguez became the best footballer to ever lace a pair of boots.
Yes.
From set pieces, from dead balls, this kid was going to take the world by storm. Off to Real Madrid for 6 years. Never reached those heights. It was okay. Okay, 29 goals in 85 matches. So he was okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But not. Yeah. He didn't reach the heights that we thought he would. Then it was to Bayern Munich for a couple of years on loan. Then Everton. And then he gets kind of crazy. Al Rayyan.
Yeah.
To Olympiacos. Olympiacos. Sao Paulo. To Real Vallecano. To Leon in Mexico. And now to Minnesota United. That is the journey of James Rodriguez.
Yeah. Surprising that he's gone down that road, but that's pretty typical of a lot of footballers, right? Like, as far as, yeah, maybe you have a long stay somewhere. And then towards the end of your career, you go on tour. And you test out some places, but I'm so curious to see how he does in Minnesota.
You mean if he gets arrested by ICE going to Minnesota?
Gosh. Yeah, get that paperwork in check.
Yeah, better carry your passport.
Golly. Yeah, and then the fans as well, I guess.
Yeah, and I think listen, is it? Yes, he's an aging superstar, kind of, but I'm still excited to watch him play.
Yeah,
he's got those moments, right? Like you said, there's moments of magic. This guy, he can be a game breaker. I mean, I've watched him since Christ.
That's exactly it. You know who? I guess is somewhat similar in MLS. Is Jordan Shaqiri, where you know he's kind of this player that you're familiar. You see him at the tournaments, and then when he came to the league, it was. He still gave you those moments of brilliance, basically, where it was like quieter performances and then just bangers. So, maybe something similar here with James Rodriguez.
Yeah, the league seems pretty excited about it anyway. You know, the Colombian fan base will stand up and take notice of the league for sure.
Yeah, and it didn't cost too much. I think that's the other thing that's interesting about this. I think in the past in MLS, you'd almost have to overpay to bring in players with some name recognition. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And this deal is a good example mm-hmm. of that. Like I think it's not a huge risk for Minnesota to bring him in.
Exactly. Okay. To the news at hand.
That's it. We're done.
No, not yet. One last little prior to Vancouver, because we're going to be talking to Vancouver from the end. Just our friend, Cristiano Ronaldo missed and boycotted today's game.
Oh, so third one. Has he done the third one?
No, it's the second one. ESPN, the 41-year-old was absent from the lineup for Friday's match against Al Ittihad. Sources have told ESPN that Ronaldo planned on boycotting Friday's game after not receiving a guarantee that the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, PIF, will make changes regarding the Saudi Pro League club's management.
Well, this what guy, an absolute baby.
This guy is like, can he do this? Is he going to pull it off? Is he going to pull it off? Sitting on the bench?
It's gross. The amount of money he's being paid by that club, by PIF, and to whine because they haven't made enough improvements to the squad. Maybe they can't afford to make improvements because of what you're making. Maybe that's part of the reason here, Cristiano. Jesus. But I love it. Yeah. I love it when he does something stupid because I just love hammering him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's good to talk about. It's fun because he doesn't have a leg to stand on here.
It's like Trump. I love listening to Trump because I love to have some content, right, to hammer him about. Did you see that interview yesterday? NBC is talking about, you know, running for president again. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, you know, the sad part is that it's just great content. Whatever happens, I provide the best content. It's like, oh, that's not your job.
Yeah, exactly. He's content creator.
And maybe that's what Ronaldo's doing.
Gosh.
What's your take on Ronaldo before we get over to Vancouver?
Well, I just want to say something about Ronaldo and what he's really doing and by embracing the culture in Saudi Arabia of protest, because it's something that the people there are encouraged to exercise their right to protest in Saudi Arabia.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
No, I've got nothing to add on.
A tweet here, actually.
So no.
All right. Go ahead. I have a tweet here from, it's our boy Scott Flash
Thompson. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to find where it is now. Maybe it's under the footy prime. Yeah, it will be under the footy prime. Here you go. Okay. So he was referring to PIF and Ronaldo's histrionics regarding not spending any money. He says, for the first time, probably ever, I agree with Ronaldo. Ooh. PIF didn't spend enough this window on Newcastle United. Well, I couldn't ever fully agree with him. That's brilliant.
That's well done. Yeah, I mean, anyway, the guy chose to go there, get paid to go there. So the money's what lured him in, and now to call them out and not spending elsewhere, I think is nuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Okay, to Vancouver. To Vancouver. Whitecaps and what's happening there. So Axel spoke again yesterday. There's been some statements put out there, including from the mayor, actually. I've got this quote here, actually, from Jess Jahal, who has a show on CKNW radio. He spoke to the mayor. Remind me, David Eby?
No, that's the premier.
Yeah.
Premier. Yeah. Mayor's okay, so here's a little snippet here, what he said here. I think we're going to have to sit down for a longer-term plan with them, being the Whitecaps. They really are quite clear that they want their own stadium. They want their own home, and we're happy to work with them on that project, but it's not the kind of thing that we can deliver in a few months before the next season starts. Surely it's been discussed before. This isn't new information for the province or the city. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems a little bit disingenuous. Like, oh, we're just discovering this now. They want a stadium. No, it's been years, hasn't it?
Yeah, you'd assume since they've been in the league that they've looked into a stadium, have wanted their own stadium. And that's where you're right, Charms. There's so much confusion around this from both sides, really, just the messaging that's gone on, the back and forth, the public negotiations that have taken place. And this would be the latest statement. Yeah. Premier David Eby talking to Jazz Joe Hall and kind of mentioning their support, though, He says that, you know, this team is very important to the landscape here, to soccer in the country as well. So, I mean, that's encouraging. At least they understand that it is so important to keep this team here. And I think that's, yeah, maybe one of the biggest differences between the Grizzly situation and this one is that I think you have a lot of support from government and you hope from the owners as well to keep this team here in Vancouver because of what it means and not just, yeah, what it means to the community, to the people involved, obviously. Yeah, the staff, all the jobs as well that are attached to the Vancouver Whitecaps, media. So I believe that there is a strong understanding of what this team means. And, you know, I think last season had a lot to do with it, bringing in Thomas Mueller, having the success in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, essentially, yeah, kind of going on tour and getting all the extra attention and then developing talent as well. And I think we've seen that in recent years. Ali Ahmed always comes to mind, but very much a Whitecaps product. Alfonso Davies as well. And then you see the impact, the influence on the national team. And if you to go back to, I guess, the Grizzlies situation, you look at the players that have come out of Ontario and the Toronto area since the Raptors came in and kind of, you know, what hasn't really come through BC since the Grizzlies have gone, like what could have been, what players could have come from the lower mainland, Vancouver, British Columbia, throughout the province, if the Grizzlies were still here, because there is a knock-on effect through inspiration, through actual development as well, with them being in the community and actually spending money in the community to develop young athletes. And that's what I think we're seeing now as well with the Vancouver Whitecaps. So I believe that there's a commitment to keep them there with that in mind as well.
There's a level of legacy that the Whitecaps have and roots within the community that the Grizzlies did not have. And I know we're talking, I would compare them much like the Montreal Expos. And the difference between the Montreal Expos and the Vancouver Whitecaps, there seems to be from how Axel Schuster's handling it, a way to keep them there. Whereas Grizzlies and the Expos, ownership wanted to get the F out. They were basically playing the game to put the city in the position that was not viable for the city so they can go, well, there you go. It's not our fault. Whereas, and I don't know, I could be reading this all wrong, or is that the vibe?
No, I get that sense as well. You wouldn't have the commitment that we're seeing with the Vancouver Whitecaps if, I believe, ownership didn't want to keep the team here. The players that they've brought in, the moves that they've made, the success we've seen at the part on the pitch. I know that some people believe maybe it's just increasing the value to potentially sell. But you look at what they've done over the years. You have to feel that this is part of the long-term plan to show what can be possible here and to get the fans on board. And even looking at the numbers, because that's what it ultimately comes down to, is the revenue generated. And that's one thing that Axel Schuster mentioned in his messaging this week, that the gap to like the middle of the pack when it comes to just revenue generated throughout the season. I feel like that is already going to improve with the better PAFCO deal. Thomas Mueller's only been here for half a year, right? So you're going to continue to make money off of that acquisition through jersey sales and all the rest. So I think that they're trending in the right direction. There's still a long way to go. I think there's a lot of room to grow and hopefully more corporate sponsorship. That's the other ask now, is getting more people on board. And hopefully that does happen. Hopefully there are some big deals. And that's probably the next thing that fans should look forward to is that next investment, wherever it comes from, and hopefully it being a longer term deal. Because I think that there's some fans that are obviously concerned with the fact that, yeah, this PAFCO deal is an improvement. It's only for 1 year. Why aren't these deals 2 to 3 years? We understand that the team needs their own stadium, soccer-specific stadium. That will take time. You're not going to build it overnight. So why can't these deals be 2 or 3 years? So if there is a big sponsorship deal, goes on the jersey or whatever that looks like. If it's a 3 or 4 year deal, hopefully that will settle the nerves for the fans, because yeah, they'd like to see something sort of some long-term investment with this club.
Would you say Axel this week was clumsy or really strategic in his
or German
his comments or just German?
I think all of the above. I think it depends when you ask me. I thought that the first messaging a week ago on Friday, it was calculated. You expected that, but what was the play? Because then there was pushback from, push from the fans to the provincial government. Thought that was the intent. Provincial government then unveils the deal that was on the table. Fans react and say, "That's pretty good." Axel Schuster and the Whitecaps say, "Not good enough." And that's when everything went crazy, because you had fans going to bat for this club that they believe in, that they love so passionately, feel like they do something in getting a job done. Now, this deal was probably done well in advance, but then made available and kind of shown to everybody. Nonetheless, it's an improvement over the previous deal. Still so much room to narrow that gap between what they hope as far as generating revenue. So that's why it wasn't good enough, I guess, for them to kind of narrow that gap, but definitely good enough to accept, which they have done or will be doing here. So that's where, yeah, it was a mess when it comes to the communication of all of it. And this even goes back to, I think, last year, just with the messaging around the Pavco deal in particular. Like that's part of the problem, obviously, and that's become made clear now, but doesn't completely solve it. I think almost a year ago or even months ago, it felt like that was the only issue and that would have solved everything. Clearly not the case now. So I think the fact that the goalposts seem to be moving when it comes to the communication from the club is what's frustrating fans and media as well.
So what to expect now moving forward this season? Will this just kind of go away because we've got a year, you know, at least a year signed, and or is it going to be in the background very much from the ownership to what lies ahead for next season?
Yeah, I don't think this one goes away. We were in a similar situation, similar but different last year, and it did go away. Success changed things. There was enough of a runway. Time's the clock's ticking, right? We don't know where this team will be in 2027. And I think that is the biggest concern. And, as each day goes by, we get closer to that. So I don't think this will go away anytime soon, regardless of how well they do on the pitch, because none of it matters. And we've seen that, you have player announcements, signings, incoming, outgoing, and the questions are stadium, future of the club, because it doesn't matter who comes in or who goes if the team's gone next year. So I don't think that this is going away anytime soon. Probably best to do some negotiating behind closed doors and not come public with it. So, understandably, you won't get a response from the club or governments on some occasions, but doesn't mean the questions won't be asked on a weekly basis.
Axel Schuster, David Eby, anybody else in government, you just heard Asa Rahman tell everyone, keep the negotiations quiet until there's some real announcements to make. He just said it. I don't think that was that controversial, though.
Yeah.
Like you said, though, also, it's amazing what winning does, right? And how it just makes things go to the background. And let's hope they can hit the field running this year, having lost, some names, but brought some talent in as well. Asa, yeah. Listen, though, it's a short podcast today, but thank you so much. Did you hear that we're doing the push-up challenge, at least four of
yes!
us?
Yes, push-up yeah. challenge.
Yeah, day two.
What do I have to do, just some push-ups?
Well, one has done is done a bunch today, right?
No, 70. I did a bunch yesterday, and I banked 30. Yeah. So I have. You're supposed to do there. Sharms. I still haven't looked at there's an app that we downloaded, and I looked at it, but I didn't look at it at first. So I just pumped off. Amy had done some math, and it was 2,000 for the certain. Like so, you had to do 91. So I did 91 yesterday, and now I'm happy that I banked because I was only needed 63, I think. And now my breast muscles are very sore.
Well, I should say, the recovery is going to be tough.
Yes, my pectorals.
You overdid it. I told you, just follow the plan.
No. I just need to stretch. I'm going to do another 90.
You're in your 50s. You know it's going to be worse tomorrow. Like 48 hours.
I'm in my 50s? I didn't know that.
You are. I know.
Stop. Look at it. I got gray. Oh, my car got broken into last night.
Oh, good. Good.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I have nothing in my car. They took Craig and I go golfing like 5 or 6 times a year in the summer. So I always have a bottle of Advil in there. So he and I can do some ibuprofen or some Aleve. So they stole that. Mm-hmm. And
now you have your sore pectoral muscles and this is all you need. And they got the one thing that you need.
Yeah, exactly.
it was quite surprising though. Cause I think they got frustrated with the crap I have, all this dollar store stuff, like yeah. brushes, an old Cheerio box.
Yeah, like, two daughters too, so I know exactly what that car looks like.
I'm thinking it was a guy who went in there, was looking for something, and it was strewn all over. And not only in the front seat, but in the back, and all the glove compartment was open. And I think he got frustrated how little I had. So
how desperate though must you be to break into a 2012 brown Venza.
Brown
2011
Venza.
Brown Venza.
That's,
yeah,
like you are. That's a hardcore drug addict. Just desperate, isn't it? Has to be.
Yeah.
Did he break window or was it open?
No. I forgot the door. I always forget. The
okay, so didn't break it.
So that's good, right? So then they're not breaking anything.
No, and they won't do it again because I know you got nothing.
Right. Yeah. I'm always just sitting there going, I hope he didn't pee in here. So, you know, you can't tell till the spring because it's so cold. Well, it's very cold here. I know your weather has been pretty miserable in Vancouver. Here, it's been wonderful in Toronto.
No,
it's been gorgeous the last couple of days, Wanger, but I love it. It's great.
You like that bit.
Never change.
That's pretty prime. Make sure you like and retweet and subscribe and sign up to our newsletter. Another one goes out, if not today, it'll be tomorrow, Saturday. But log on to wearefootyprime.com, sign up right there, and we'll see you again next week. Hopefully there's going to be a quieter week from off the pitch issues for the Whitecaps and more on the pitch good news for the Whitecaps and all our MLS faithful here in Canada. Alright everyone, until next time, have a good weekend and cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Awesome. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, homie.
Thanks, guys. That's fun.
Add text using hand gestures. Got a new pop up on my screen here.
Sorry for being late.
Oh, God. Cool.